The world's biggest democracy, India, is holding elections. Voting started about 2 weeks ago and lasts through May. While that's underway, we're bringing you a series of stories about Hindu nationalism. India has a Hindu majority, but its constitution calls it a secular country. Some devout Hindus want to change that. NPR's Lauren Freyer looks at an influential Hindu group that's reached the highest levels of Indian politics.
It looks like a collection of men from all walks of life. They're middle-aged, kind of pot-bellied men. There's some retirees. There's a young kid in a football jersey and no shoes. And they come here every morning at dawn and do these exercises, yoga, and chant mantras from ancient Hindu texts. Namaste,
Go to a neighborhood park in India at dawn, and you may find a cell of the RSS, the Rashtriya Swayamsevak Sangh. It's a huge network that runs Hindu catechism classes and these morning drill sessions called shakas. The idea is to celebrate 5,000 years of rich Hindu culture.
We recite the names of the great people, sons and daughters of India, right from the ancient times to the modern India. See, we have forgotten our history. We have forgotten the great deeds that our people have done.
My host, Ratan Sharda, is one of 5 million RSS volunteers. They march and salute a saffron-orange flag, the color of robes worn by Hindu monks. But they do more than morning calisthenics. The RSS also runs summer camps where cadets train with rifles and bamboo batons. It goes back to 1925, when India was still ruled by the British. Mohandas Gandhi was agitating for independence. A doctor named Keshav Hedgevar broke with the pacifist Gandhi and founded the RSS. Where Gandhi preached nonviolence, the RSS emphasized military discipline and Hindu scripture.
This is the house here?
This is the house. We are at the place where RSS was started and 17 people were present.
It started with 17 men in the founder's living room, says RSS member Samir Gautam, who gives me a tour. The house in the central Indian city of Nagpur is now a museum.
So this is a visitor's book.
Right.
People from all over India who...
The museum leaves out some parts of RSS history, though, like how the group initially opposed the idea of a secular Indian constitution and called Christians and Muslims internal threats to India. One of the most famous RSS members was Nathuram Godse, better known as Gandhi's assassin.
January 30th, 1948, Mahatma Gandhi was murdered, shot to death on his way to prayer in Delhi by a Hindu who was maddened by Gandhi's efforts to reconcile Hindus and Muslims.
The Indian government immediately banned the RSS. Members were jailed and their homes attacked by angry mobs. My tour guide, Samir Gautam, comes from a long line of RSS men.
My grandfather's house was burnt. My grandmother was alone because my grandfather was jailed. And he might not be knowing Godse, or he might not have even seen Godse.
Godse was convicted of Gandhi's murder and hanged. The ban on RSS was lifted after a year and a half. An investigation absolved the group itself of any involvement. And since then, the RSS has rebounded. It gained prominence in the 1980s by calling for a Hindu temple to be built in northern India, where faithful believe one of their gods, Lord Ram, was born. Problem is, there was already a 16th century mosque on that very spot. Hindu activists destroyed the Babri Masjid, or Babri Mosque, in 1992. Historian Tanika Sarkar says it caught even scholars like her by surprise.
We knew of the RSS vaguely, but we had absolutely no idea of their reach, of the ground-level organizations. And they do some good also. They provide schools in remote areas. But along with literacy and so on, they also teach this kind of vicious ethnic hatred.
Thousands of people, mostly Muslims, were killed in riots when the Babri Mosque came down. On a leafy college campus in New Delhi, Vikas Pathak strolls the quad where 20 years ago he used to hand out pamphlets for the RSS student wing. Campuses were dominated by left-wing, secular groups. But then, Pathak says, in the late 1990s...
That changed immediately. Secularism suddenly went out of the window. It is not there even today.
Pathak says it wasn't just his campus. It was the country. 2 decades on, Pathak has since left the group, and the RSS has poured itself into politics, says Pradip Kumar Datta, a historian and political scientist.
It started as remaking the personhood of the Hindu, but now it seeks to run the country.
It does that today, he says, primarily through its political arm, the Bhartiya Janata Party, or BJP. That's Prime Minister Narendra Modi's party. He, the president, and most of the cabinet are all RSS members. Modi joined when he was young. The RSS shaped him. And he still consults it on policy, says columnist Neerja Chowdhury.
A couple of years ago, there was this conclave of RSS leaders, and the prime minister and senior ministers went there to get the RSS's views. You have the economic wing of the RSS, their leaders going to see the finance minister of India before the budget is formulated.
Chowdhury says the RSS helps shape public school curriculum. It scuttles legislation it doesn't like. And it pressures the government to be more protectionist when it comes to big multinational companies entering India.
Walmart, for instance, the entry of Walmart, negotiations are going on, but the RSS has problems with it. So they're much more rooted in the Indian soil. That's the way they put it.
All of this matters because the RSS is an unelected group that has managed to profoundly shape Indian policy. And it's done so with an ideology that's often at odds with India's secular constitution. The Muslim call to prayer rings out in a typical Mumbai neighborhood that's dotted with mosques, temples, and churches. About 1 in 6 Indians is Muslim. They're the largest minority, and they've been here for centuries. But some RSS members call them invaders because some of their ancestors may have come from abroad. Others say that deep down, India's Muslims are actually Hindus because their Hindu forefathers may have converted to Islam, some say under force. They want to erase our Muslim history and identity, says Syed Ahmed Ansari, a rickshaw driver with a bushy white beard. When Indians were struggling for freedom from colonial rule, we were united. We were all in it together. Why should we focus now on what divides us, he asks. A lifetime ago, Indians got their freedom and established a state with secular principles reflecting their diversity. But as RSS gains power, it has a new vision to redefine India according to its majority Hindu faith. Lauren Freyer, NPR News, Mumbai.